Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to The Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, hour three here on a Saturday. Coming up at 3:20, David Walker from the Falcoholic, SB Nation. We'll talk Falcons with him. In 20 minutes, you'll hear from Danny Cannell, CBS Sports College football analyst. He was on with Dukes and Bell. We'll give you a little condensed version of that. A couple of things he said that I disagree with. So we'll get some reaction to that coming up in just about 20 minutes' time. But all college football this hour. We'll get back to the Braves and the Falcons in the final hour. But today, you get Georgia, you get Kentucky. All right? First of all, with this matchup. It's a battle of unbeatens, but it feels like a distinct mismatch, which is why Georgia's a 21.5-point favorite. You can have two undefeated. You can have number one against number 11. You can send College Game Day between the hedges, all that. It's great. That's what you do. You build it up. You hype it up. I do not think Kentucky is capable of making this game respectable and getting it to the second half. I think this is a repeat of Arkansas. And you look at what Georgia has gone through schedule-wise, Clemson, Arkansas, Auburn, Florida in 2 weeks, although Florida's looking pretty pedestrian. It's been a gauntlet of a schedule for any team, maybe except this Georgia team. Because that is how good they are. And I get it. Kentucky has challenges, right? Let's just put it this way. Mark Stoops does not recruit at the same level for Kentucky football that John Calipari recruits at for Kentucky basketball. Okay? Calipari gets the best of the best, the one and done, the NBA guy. Mark Stoops does not get five-star guys. Mark Stoops, gets a few fours, but not a lot. He gets a lot of the three-star recruits. And the fact that you're 6-0 and that you've been this good for 9 years at Kentucky by Kentucky standards is absolutely commendable. I'd like to see what Mark Stoops can do at a bigger job with more resources and more of a commitment to the football team. No question about it. But this Kentucky team, for people to think, oh, yeah, this could be an interesting game. Georgia better be careful. Yeah, Georgia will win, but you know they're going to have to play their best. I'm looking at Kentucky's schedule. It's the complete opposite of what Georgia's played this year. Kentucky has played UL Monroe. They beat Missouri by a touchdown. They beat Chattanooga by 5 points. They beat South Carolina by 6 points. Their best win is against Florida, who was number 10 at the time. They won 20-13. And they're coming off of a nice win against LSU. Give them credit for that. LSU's taking care of Florida now. But LSU, post-2019, Joe Burrow, 15-0, has legitimately been a 500 team. So I don't look at Kentucky today like this exciting matchup. Georgia's going to smother Kentucky, period. 30-6. Dogs win, bet the under. Dogs cover. Kentucky gets on the board somehow, some way. No way they muster up any offense against Georgia. And it looks like if Twitter is accurate, and that's always a scary thing to say, but JT Daniels about a week out. So it will be Stetson Bennett again. And look, like I said 2 weeks ago when we played you the clip on the show, or actually it was last Saturday, with Georgia at Auburn, and Kirby Smart was asked about who will be quarterback, and he said it'll be Stetson. JT can go if absolutely necessary. Everyone's like, well, what does that mean? If he can play, why can't he? Read between the lines. Kirby Smart knew, even on the plains at Auburn last week, he didn't need JT Daniels. And he darn sure ain't going to need him at home today against Kentucky. Stetson Bennett will probably have a really good day. Because Stetson Bennett has grown. He's developed. He's not JT Daniels, but you know what he is? He's available. He's available. JT Daniels, always unavailable. I think he's played, what, 9 games since he became a Georgia Bulldog? In some ways, it's like, does JT Daniels really exist? Is he a real guy? Or is he just like this myth that we think we have? But we really can't confirm it. But maybe, just maybe, back in time, because after this week, Georgia gets a bye, and then you get the cocktail party in Jacksonville against a lowly Florida Gator team. Will be a great spot to bust out JT Daniels for the stretch run, because you're going to need him for the stretch run, I think. Although, you know, the way a season evolves, you saw Alabama last week. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities that a Stetson Bennett could beat Alabama. If Zach Calzada and Texas A&M can do it, why can't Stetson Bennett and the Georgia Bulldogs? 404-741-0929. All right, let's hear from the head coach, Kirby Smart. And, of course, Kirby with probably what we now call the daily JT Daniels update.
We're kind of going off Ron's protocol. He has him on pitch count daily following that. And then we check and see if he swells or if he has any soreness after it. And good news is he hasn't had any soreness the last 2 days, not extensive soreness. And we were able to go back the next day and continue to get some. But he hadn't been able to do a whole lot, a little more than he did the week before.
He's on a pitch count. We hope it doesn't swell. He's a little sore. You can tell by my tone, I just don't really care for that. But that's all right. You got a nice reliever in Stetson Bennett, and you've got maybe, maybe the greatest defense in the history of college football. We'll explain and expound upon that in just a moment. Let's hear from Kirby Smart on the opposition and what specifically this Kentucky defense is all about.
They're going to face a different kind of defense this week than last week. You know, Auburn was probably a little bit undersized and really quick and athletic. These guys are big physical guys at Kentucky. They got a lot of size, a lot of different looks, too, where defensively they throw a lot of different looks at you.
I think what we'll see today is a lot of the quick stuff on offense. Get Stetson in the shotgun. Get it out quick. Don't try to necessarily pound it up the middle against Kentucky's front 7, which clearly is not Georgia, but they are a big group. Like Kirby said, they're not a finesse, undersized, beat you with speed type of front 7. Mark Stoops got some big boys up front. I think Stetson Bennett, get him in the gun, bubble screens, quick slants, RPOs, real quick tempo type stuff, and then start to beat Kentucky down. Because once you get Kentucky down 14-0 with this suffocating defense, Kentucky becomes one-dimensional. And Will Levis has to throw the ball, and then that's a 3-and-out. Georgia gets the ball back. Kentucky defense gassed. Then you start pounding away. Milton, Cook, White. I think it's the passing game quick early on, and then slowly, methodically grind them to a stump. 404-741-0929. Georgia's been great at stopping the run. They'll be tested a little bit today because Kentucky's got a pretty good running game. Here's Kirby Smart on the Kentucky running back.
Yeah, he's super physical. Dude is one of the hardest runners in our conference. His pad level, his strain, his drive, his power, it's like hitting a brick, man. He doesn't people bounce off him, and they have for years. And he's a really thick, heavy back that you got to be a willing tackler. You know, he gets to the second level quick.
And that was Kirby in regards to Kentucky running back Chris Rodriguez, who on the year has almost 800 yards rushing, 6.5 yards a pop, and he's broken off 23 runs of 10 yards or more. I'll tell you who he reminds me of stylistically with his physicality and almost disregard for his body as well as the guy that's brave enough to try to tackle him. He reminds me of Holyfield from Georgia a couple of years ago, who just ran with that pissed off attitude, like, I'm angry and I'm going to take it out on you by lowering my head. He runs ticked off. But he's also going to be running into a Georgia front seven that is like a great white in the ocean after, like, you throw in the bucket with the chum and they just start swarming. Earlier today on College Game Day, Kirby Smart was asked about this Georgia defense. And look, I don't think he's wrong here. The comparison was this Georgia defense to what he coordinated a decade ago at Alabama. In 2011, if you remember, Alabama won the title 11-1. They lost to LSU in the regular season in that 9-6 game of the century, nothing but field goals. And they ended up getting revenge, beating LSU 21-0, national championship. But that defense, a lot of people have said, including Athlon Sports, who I used to do a podcast for, is the greatest college football defense of all time. Now, I would argue a little bit the 0-1 Miami team was pretty good. But that Alabama defense 10 years ago had Marcell Dareus, Courtney Upshaw, Dante Hightower, Mark Barron. I mean, that was a really insane defense. And now Georgia is being compared to that defense. And I don't know player for player if they get the attention. I think player for player, they might be as good, but they don't get the national recognition that some of those individual players for Alabama did. But I think collectively, as a unit, they're better than that Alabama defense. I mean, guys, going into last week against Auburn, and how dare Georgia give up 10 points to Auburn? How dare you ruin the numbers? I mean, your numbers, what you gave up 10 points and your stats went up. Hard to believe. But going into last week, Georgia was giving up 4.6 points per game. How's that possible in 2021 where they don't allow you to play defense? By nature of the sport, with safety and targeting and the referees and up-tempo and read option and RPO and, you know, everything is like a fantasy football Madden video game on offense in college football. You're not supposed to be that good. And here's Georgia giving up 5 points a game. Oh, yeah, no, they're every bit as good as that 2011 Alabama defense. Collectively as a whole might be better. And then we'll see how the NFL draft shakes out, how many guys go first round, so forth and so on. But they're right there. You look at this Georgia defense right now, two shutouts, giving up 203 yards per game, 5.5 points per game. They're allowing 183.7 through the air. Compare this Georgia defense to the Bama defense in 2011. Bama gave up 8.2 points a game. We're giving up 5.5. And that was 10 years ago when we didn't see as much of the read option, all that. Like, that stuff's come in the last 10 years. We saw spread stuff, but not like we're seeing now. And I think 2011 was actually pre-targeting ejection. So here's this Georgia defense against the Kentucky. And here's the thing about Kentucky. All the credit, again, to Stoops for what he's done. They never have a quarterback. Like, after 9 years, you would think you'd be able to get a quarterback, right? I mean, Kentucky's had quarterbacks in the past. Andre Woodson was pretty good, early 2000s. Jared Lorenzen, rest in peace, the hefty lefty, he was pretty decent. Again, I love Georgia today. Beat down between the hedges, 30-6. Bet the under, it's 44.5. 404-741-0929 is the number. LSU with a pick six. They're now up 28-13 over the Florida Gators. Poor Dan Mullen. I hate to see old Danny Boy on the struggle bus. We'll come back. You'll hear from one former football player who played in the state of Florida, not for the Gators, but for the Seminoles. Pretty good college football analyst, kind of a troll, but I kind of like his opinion. Don't always agree with him. And he said a couple of things on Dukes and Bell this week in regards to college football that we will try to dispel. And we'll do that coming up next. Stay there. Now, appreciate you coming on. All right, there he was, Danny Cannell, CBS Sports HQ, on with Dukes and Bell this past week. A couple of things that I disagree with. They started, obviously, with the dogs, and they were talking about the pressure that is now on Georgia as the number one team. And Danny Cannell said, yes, but it's not uncharted waters. They've been there before. This is a team that's been, you know, to college football national championships and playoffs, and all that's true. But I do think the pressure is on Georgia this year now more than ever for two reasons. You have possibly historically the greatest defense in college football history, and you have an Alabama team that looks vulnerable in multiple facets of the game. The Alabama is not a great team when it comes to running the ball like they used to be, and their defensive coordinator, Pete Golding, I'm not impressed with him. He damn sure isn't Kirby Smart 10 years ago. And Alabama seems to be susceptible on the back end. I don't know that Alabama's got a great pass rush. I look at Alabama as, yeah, still one of the four best teams in college football, even though they're number five right now. But that's because they just lost last week, and we love to put undefeated teams ahead of them. But it's all going to shake out. I think at the end of the day, Alabama's one of the four best teams. But Georgia, if not this year, then when? Like, Kirby Smart's been around long enough. I'm confident in saying he'll never have a defense this good again. I mean, what's he going to get, a defense that gives up 2 points a game? I mean, it's not going to happen. And while the quarterback thing is interesting, whether it's JT or Stetson right now, when you look at the defense and you look at the landscape of the opponents and the way college football has been shaken out this year, I think Georgia can win the national championship with either quarterback. I thought Mike Bell brought up an interesting question and a great comparison when he compared basically Stetson Bennett to Greg McElroy and A.J. McCarron. Because, like, I know maybe a lot of young people think, oh, man, Jalen Hurts and Tua and Bryce Young and Mac Jones. Like, in the early days of the Saban era at Alabama, he had game managers. Greg McElroy, A.J. McCarron. You know, those are Stetson Bennett-esque type quarterbacks. Now, probably higher, more highly recruited, but not athletically popping off the charts. Game managers just found ways to win. And yeah, I think the answer is yes. Kirby can win it with Stetson Bennett, who actually does remind me a little bit of Greg McElroy. And I say yes after last week. And I know football, it's week to week and things get weird, but again, if Zach Calzada and Texas A&M can beat Alabama, Stetson Bennett and Georgia can. I do actually agree with Danny Cannell on the nature of college football, because I do think at some point this year, probably in the SEC championship or then in the college football playoff, somebody's going to score 20 points on Georgia. It's just going to happen. Whether it's Bryce Young in Alabama, or it's Oklahoma, or it's Ohio State, or whoever it ends up being, somebody will. But if A&M can drop a 41 spot on Bama, that's fine. If Georgia gives up 20, 24, 21, 27 points, I think Stetson Bennett could easily get us 35 to 38 against any of these top-tier teams. I think the big question will be, when all the smoke and dust settles, the biggest nightmare for the college football playoff committee is one loss Alabama beating one undefeated Georgia in the SEC championship and one loss Ohio State beating undefeated Iowa in the Big Ten championship, because then you're going to have four one-loss teams. One loss Bama, one loss Georgia, one loss Iowa, one loss Ohio State. Which conference, SEC or Big Ten, as Carl Dukes was mentioning to Danny Cannell, which conference will get two teams in? Because I think Michigan's going to fall by the wayside. They still have number 10 Michigan State, number 7 Penn State, and number 6 Ohio State. Michigan ain't running that table. Oklahoma is undefeated, but in five of their six games, and they're 6-0, five of those six games were decided by one score or less. Oklahoma's not a juggernaut, and Spencer Rattler got the hook last week. So this thing is wide open, and it is clearly Georgia and then a cluster of everybody else, from Iowa to Cincinnati to Alabama to Oklahoma to Ohio State, on down the list. It's not 2007 where I think we're going to have a two-loss national champion, but it's about to get real dicey, and I wouldn't want to be in that committee room, I'll tell you that much. 404-741-0929. If you guys have thoughts on the Dogs and Kentucky, SEC, college football, we'll rock all the college football calls when we come back, as well as a little SEC swing. That's next here on the Nick Cale Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
With more Nick Cale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, yes. Welcome back in, Nick Cale Show, as we wind down hour number three here on this Saturday, hanging out till 4 o'clock. Georgia and Kentucky coming up on CBS Sports shortly after 3:30. Brad Nessler, Gary Danielson, Jamie Erdahl, pretty good crew. Love Nessler. I'm over Gary Danielson. I used to like Gary Danielson. I used to like the way he analyzed games, his kind of his passion as a Big Ten guy. Remember Gary Danielson way back in the day, even before my time. Back in the day, he was a I think he played at Purdue, so he's a Big Ten guy. But I'm at the point now where I'm over Gary Danielson. His little, it's not even shtick. He's just wrong so often. He's so excited at times where he just gets it wrong. It's like, can you get it right first? But I'm a huge Brad Nessler guy. So Georgia, Kentucky coming up today as we go around the SEC, a little SEC swing here for a couple of minutes. Also, this whole debate now amongst conferences for conference supremacy and pride, the Big Ten against the SEC. We'll kind of put that under the spotlight as well. But let's look at the SEC today. All the scores, thoughts going around the conference. First of all, Number 17, Arkansas, they trail at the end of three quarters. Auburn leading Arkansas 28-23. The Tigers looking to get to 5-2. They were about a 5-point underdog in this game. They are up 5, 28-23 as we go to the fourth quarter. It's actually getting pretty competitive again down in Death Valley. LSU leading Florida 35-28, 6:33 to go in the third quarter. LSU came into this game a 12.5-point underdog. They lead outright by a touchdown. Three quarters in the books in Columbia, Texas A&M 35, Missouri 14. So no letdown, no Texas A&M smelling themselves after knocking off Alabama, walking into a trap. Not the case. They're up 35-14. Later tonight, we've got Alabama and Mississippi State, the Tide, a 17-point road favorite in Starkville. Which is weird about this game is Alabama's coming off of a loss to A&M, and Mississippi State beat A&M a few weeks ago. And I don't know if you guys saw it on Twitter or maybe on TV this week, but some, I'm assuming, Mississippi State Bulldog beat reporter actually asked Mike Leach at one of his media sessions this week if he thought there was any concern that Mississippi State might take Alabama lightly. And Mike Leach was like, well, if if we take Alabama lightly, we're the stupidest team on the planet. And he's 100% correct. I can, you know, sometimes, and, you know, I get it. A lot of these guys work hard. And surprise to many people listening, a lot of guys in sports media, they don't make any money. All right? They do it because they love it, not because they're getting paid a lot of cheddar. But you can't ask that question. Like, I'm hoping that was like a college journalist, because if you ask a team and their coach if they are going to take Alabama lightly, you might need like a 1 week media credential suspension. I'm just saying that I heard that and I was like, yo, get that dude out of here. He must be here for the food. Get him out. Gotta go. Also, later this evening, Tennessee, Ole Miss. And we had Trey Wallace on from Outkick earlier in the show. And here's the thing about this game. I know everybody's loving offense, and everybody expects this game to be 55-48. I'm just saying from a betting standpoint, and we'll do our NFL picks coming up in about an hour before we get out of here. Yo, if you're going to bet over 82, you need a perfect game. Like, 1 8-minute drive that ends in a field goal, you're in trouble if you bet the over. If you go down the field, 5-minute drive, miss a field goal, and you bet the over, you're in trouble. You basically need touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. You don't want long drives. You don't want kicks, field goals, punts, extra points, all of that bad if you bet the over. I know these two teams score like it's a pinball machine, but I kind of like the under. I'll just bank on a defensive stop here, a turnover there, a shanked kick there. I mean, after all, it's college kickers. Come on. So that's the other one. And then, of course, the game that nobody cares about, South Carolina Vanderbilt, but we had to mention it just for the sake of the fact that they're in the conference for some reason. Not sure why. Well, I know why Vanderbilt is, because it's to boost the GPA academically for the conference. That's why. South Carolina 3-3, Vanderbilt 2-4. But let me get to this conversation that's starting to get some steam and grow some legs, and that is the SEC and the Big Ten. Because I think most of us all realize that in college football amongst the Power Five conferences, the SEC reigns supreme, and the Big Ten's usually, you know, the second best conference, right? It's typically Ohio State, but there's other good teams in the conference as well. We know the Pac-12 has basically opted out of college football for reasons unbeknownst to me. It's just not a good conference. And Clemson has carried the ACC for the better part of 7 years now. Big 12, of course, it's always Oklahoma. But it always feels like when the Big Ten is good, it's, well, let's give the Big Ten love. The national media worships the SEC. The SEC at times is overrated. I don't know that that's necessarily the case. But now more than ever, it feels like there might actually be a conversation. So you've got, and I'll give it to you from the SEC perspective first. Georgia, number one, 6-0. Alabama, number 5, 5-1. And then you get to Kentucky, number 11, 6-0. Ole Miss, number 13, 4-1. Arkansas, 17, 4-2. Florida, 20, 4-2. Texas A&M, 21, 4-2. So you've got A&M, you've got Florida, you've got Arkansas, you've got Ole Miss, Kentucky, Bama, Georgia. Seven teams in the top 25. And Auburn, with a win today against Arkansas, probably works their way back in at 5-2. So then you get to the Big Ten. Iowa's number 2, 6-0. Ohio State, number 6, 5-1. Penn State, number 7, 5-1. Michigan, number 8, 6-0. Michigan State, number 10, 6-0. And then we have to work our way down. And that is it. So five teams from the Big Ten in the top 25. So you got seven in the SEC, five in the Big Ten. And then you get the undefeateds. You've got in the SEC, you got Georgia, Kentucky. We'll be down to one SEC team undefeated after today. And it will be Georgia. And then in the Big Ten, you've got Iowa's undefeated. You've got Michigan's undefeated. And Michigan State undefeated. Well, Michigan ain't running the table, okay? They got three games against top 10 teams left. Michigan State will not run the table. You have Iowa that I think will, but the question is, will they beat Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship? And if they don't, if it's a close game, as Danny Cannell said on Dukes and Bell, well, then the question is, do you have two Big Ten teams getting in? Because I'll tell you right now, if Alabama finds a way to beat Georgia in Atlanta, and I don't think they will, I actually agree with Trey Wallace, who we had on from the first hour from Outkick. He thinks right now if Georgia and Alabama played today, Georgia beats them by 14 points. I can't say that I disagree with that. I could totally see 35-21 Georgia at this very moment, should they strap it up today. So you're going to go Iowa and Ohio State with one loss? Or would you go, if Alabama finds a way to beat Georgia, Alabama-Georgia? Now, I can't speak for the committee, but I think I know the way they think. And they can say it's all, well, we look at every resume, and we look at strength of schedule and margin of victory, and they can trot out the chairman of the playoff committee, Tyrese Davis, and he can offer us a whole bunch of nothing, corporate speak, and thank Chick-fil-A and all this other nonsense. Or they can say, no, it would be Bama, Georgia, sorry. Because that's what I think would happen. I don't think if Alabama beats Georgia in a close game and Ohio State beats Iowa in a close game, that there's going to be a whole heck of a lot of people in that conference room that come out and say, no, we're going to go two Big Ten teams. Give me Iowa and Ohio State. No, Alabama, Georgia, I would bet 9 out of 10 people in that room would take that. That would be their pick. Based on the scenario I laid out of both games, Big Ten championship and SEC championship, being real close one possession down to the wire finishes. But the question is the Big Ten as good or better this year than the SEC? I don't think it is. And I think Iowa's legit. I don't think they're the second best team. Like right now, if Iowa played Oklahoma, if Iowa played Alabama, if Iowa played Ohio State, I'd probably take those teams over Iowa. I don't buy into Michigan. I'm a big Jim Harbaugh hater, but I'll give them credit, 6-0. I think they probably finish with 2 losses, which would be a good year because he would keep his job, and he's been a disappointment. Michigan State is a real nice story, but I don't believe in them. Kentucky's a nice story, coming back to our conference, but I don't really believe in Kentucky. I think Kentucky's still a 2-loss team. So when all the dust settles, and if we're going to go heavyweights, I'm still taking Georgia-Bama over Iowa and anybody else in the Big Ten, including one loss Penn State, who I actually think is pretty good. So the Big Ten can have, you know, half of the top 10 right now. They've got 5 teams. The SEC equally with a couple of undefeateds, but 7 in the top 25 as opposed to the Big Ten with 5. I think the Big Ten has been really good this year. But to answer the question, are they better than the SEC? I don't think so. Because I think when you get on this field with those teams in this conference with that speed, like if you, and this is no disrespect to Iowa, you take what you get from a recruiting standpoint when you're in Iowa. They ain't got the speed of a Georgia and Alabama. In Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss would cause Iowa fits. So this whole thing that, hey, the Big Ten, yeah, they're really good. I just would not put them ahead of the SEC. And it's not like being a homer or disrespecting the Big Ten. They're good. But when Ohio State is a little down, I don't know that that's a great thing for the conference. And I'm not really sure that Ohio State is a legit threat in the playoff. C.J. Stroud's a pretty good quarterback. But I've seen the Buckeyes, and they've been vulnerable this year. They did not look good against Oregon. They did not look good in their opener against Minnesota. And they struggled a little bit with Tulsa. Now, they've gotten it going the last couple of weeks because they've played Akron, Rutgers, and Maryland. Not necessarily football juggernauts. But again, same thing with Ohio State. I think they're a little down. Or, and I maybe there's some merit to this. Maybe Georgia is just so good that everybody else just looks down. You know, like maybe Alabama's not down. Maybe Iowa's not as bad as we think, or, you know, Ohio State or Penn State. Maybe it's just Georgia could be all time good. And everybody else kind of just looks like, yeah, pretty good. You know, like you roll like that, that Lamborghini down the street, and then all of a sudden your Mercedes and your BMW don't look as nice. Like, there's nothing wrong with a Benz or a Beamer, but when a Lambo comes through, it's like, whoa, okay, there's another gear. No pun intended. 404-741-0929. We got 1 hour to go. We will come back, and we have a lot to get to in the final hour. We've got picks coming up at 340. We're going to talk Falcons with David Walker from the Falcoholic at 320. And then also on the other side, we'll get back to what we kicked off the show with today. Braves, Dodgers, NLCS game number one. We'll hear from our very own Joe Patrick. We'll hear from Nick Green from Bally Sports. We'll get you ready. Bullpen game tonight for the Dodgers, but that's their problem. We got Max Fried on the bump as we look to take game one at Truist. Stay there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.